as much of the religious right clearly came together to elect Donald Trump as president, many observers don't expect him to be particularly involved in their issues. VP-elect Mike Pence is another story indeed. His theocratic, anti-gay, anti-woman political career is something we urgently need to take a closer look at. And joining me now is People for the American Way senior fellow Ari Rabin Hoft. And so, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having me.
What do those of us concerned about our constitutional system of government need to worry about regarding Mike Pence?
Look, I think Mike Pence, as governor of Indiana, has taken some very aggressive positions that call into question some really fundamental constitutional protections, including freedom of the press and the rights of the LGBT community, in terms of, first off, trying to pass this so-called religious freedom statute that was anything but. It was a freedom to discriminate law, and doing things like trying in Indiana and getting pushback to set up his own government-sponsored media that would short-circuit the press in his state.
Hmm. Let's remind folks in a little more detail about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that he was promoting as governor, and help our listeners understand what was at stake there.
What was at stake was essentially a right to discriminate, right? And it's this weird principle. Religious freedom laws first were pushed by actually progressives way back 20 years ago on the idea that we need to have a constitutional protection for people to practice their religion. I think broadly, I think that's something most Americans agree with. The problem is the protection of your religion has always stopped where it extends into practices that discriminate against other people. So, for example, when civil rights legislation was being passed in the 50s, 60s, and when the Supreme Court started stepping in, there were some people who wanted to continue discriminating against African Americans who decided they would try and use the church and religious freedom to do that. It was used in an attempt to avoid desegregating public school. There's a famous case involving a restaurant called Piggy Park Enterprises, where basically the restaurant didn't want to serve African Americans in the same way they served white people, and actually was distributing pro-slavery material. And the Supreme Court ruled that they were not permitted to discriminate against their customers in that way, and saying that it was their religion was not an excuse. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the 1980s Bob Jones University, the U.S. case, where the Supreme Court very clearly ruled that your religion does not allow you the right to discriminate against groups. Mm-hmm. And these freedom of religion laws are basically a repudiation of that notion.
Ari, what about his time in the legislature? What do we need to remember about those years?
There's a lot to remember about those years. I mean, this is a guy who led Congress's efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, which, by the way, interestingly enough, completely separates him from Donald Trump, who Donald Trump, if you'll recall, during the primaries, said he was steadfastly opposed to abortion, but also said that he understood the important work that Planned Parenthood does outside of abortion, which is far greater acknowledgement than any, and far be it for me to praise Donald Trump, but this is something that Donald Trump and Mike Pence separate on, is things like that, where Mike Pence in 2011 tried to defund Planned Parenthood. Mike Pence also, frankly, made it a goal of his to privatize and cut Social Security. He was one of the leaders of that in the House of Representatives. My other favorite or least favorite moment for Mike Pence was his floor speech slobbering all over Rush Limbaugh that he decided to give. That he went down to the floor when he had a sick, I think it was child at home, and he said this, that, but it was so important he had to be there to praise Rush Limbaugh that day, even though he was dealing with a sick kid.
Hmm. All right, you've worked closely with some of the leading figures in progressive politics. May I ask you how the conversations have gone among these folks since Election Day? Were they as unprepared for this outcome as many of us were?
Yeah, I think there is an honest sense of shock. I mean, look, the fact is, even you hear from the Trump people, they didn't think they were going to win that day. Mm-hmm. Everything we know about polling and modeling, and by the way, here's the thing that people should know. Tens of millions of dollars was spent at all levels, House, Senate, presidential level, doing models on voters, scientifically looking at data, figuring out what was going to happen, who was going to vote, and everybody's models failed, including the Trump campaign. They actually thought they lost. So everyone was kind of unprepared for this moment. I mean, I was at the Javits Center on Tuesday night, and prior to 9 o'clock that evening, there was a sense of elation and jubilation in the room. At about 9:30, you just felt the oxygen start getting sucked out of the room, and by 11, you knew it was over.
Mm-hmm. How do the people that you know, do they understand who the vice president-elect is and know the dangers that he poses for progressive politics and certainly progressive religion?
No, I don't think many people know who Mike Pence is at all. You know, it was such an interesting race. I don't think Mike Pence has any sort of name recognition or ID or knowledge about who he is. So if I were thinking about a figure who's kind of stealth, it's Mike Pence. And I think it's exceedingly important for progressives and all Americans to have a better understanding of who our leaders are. And right now, with Donald Trump, he's kind of an enigma on policy. And with Mike Pence, it's kind of everyone's brushed it aside during this campaign.
How optimistic about how the president-elect and the vice president-elect are going to get along?
I actually think he's going to rely pretty heavily on Mike Pence. I think he knows that he's weak when it comes to the areas of governance, and Mike Pence is well-connected and very centered in D.C. conservative circles in a way that he isn't, and I think he's going to lean heavily on Pence. Also, we know Trump doesn't care about policy or doesn't need policy, and Mike Pence actually is, and that's a dangerous part.
Mm. Well, all right. Tell us what your briefing would be for people who are going to be dealing with Pence and what they need to know about him in doing that.
I mean, what people need to know is Mike Pence is a movement conservative all around. Mike Pence was a guy who probably, if he didn't run into a harsh wall as governor of Indiana, would have set himself up to run for president. Mike Pence is a guy who has been on the far right of every economic and social issue for 20 years. Mike Pence started his career as a conservative talk radio host. So Mike Pence is a dangerous and compelling figure in the Trump administration, and the amount of influence he will have is an exceedingly scary thing.
Ari, I appreciate you being on State of Belief. I have to say, the briefing was important, and I hope that everybody feels exactly like I do at this point. You're a smart person, and what you've said is scary, and we better heed what you said.
Well, I think people should.
Well, man, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on State of Belief Radio. You're always welcome here.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's great to talk to you.